Church, will you remain standing with us? Stand with us as we pray. Father, we echo the words of the psalmist who reminds me, yes, surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives. What that means is, Lord, no matter where we are, there you are. No matter where we go, blessings flow. No matter if we're in the pit, in the valley, in the darkest days of our lives, there is still the light of Christ with us. So, Father, we know that there's a message that needs to go forth tonight, this morning. We know that there's a message that people need to cling on to so they can know that what they're seeing is going to end. That where they're at is not where they're always going to be. Father, we know that you are the God who created everything. You created the heavens and the earth and the stars that dwell within it. And the same God that created everything is the same God that can create a new heart within us today. So I pray that you would create a new heart, a new mind, so that we can live out a new path in a new way. And we can honor you and glorify you the way you are. Because you're good. You're so good. Even when things aren't so good. We love you. And you're perfect. And wonderful son's name is who we pray. Amen, amen. Go ahead and be seated. Hey, church, as you take a seat, look at the people around you. Look at the people around you. Say hi to them. Just say hi to somebody. You know, we're a friendly church. Give them a little nod. Like, what's up? I haven't seen you in a while. Say, you look good today. Thank you guys for being here. Hey, welcome online team. Thank you guys for being here as well. You can be anywhere, but you are here with us. Do us a favor. Interact with us. Talk with us. Share your favorite point. Talk to people how you love my skinny jeans online. Just share with them if you could while you're online. No, but don't forget to share this message as well. Hey, guys, I don't know if you know, but my name is Jovan, and I am the student pastor here at Christ Church. I get the privilege and the honor to serve. Well, thank you. Thank you very much. It is an honor of mine to serve some of the most well-behaved students ever. Our kids, they never curse. They don't listen to rap music. They never say, they always say, I'm sorry, and they always listen. And y'all know I'm lying when I said that. Y'all know. No, but to be honest with you, it is an honor of mine to serve the broken. It's an honor of mine to serve the lost. And I love doing that, and I love meeting kids where they are so they may know who Christ is. But not only know who Christ is, we have a group of leaders who hang out with us that are on a mission to help kids know Jesus, but to commission them to help others to know Jesus as well. Because Jesus doesn't just save you, he actually also sends you as well. So we're so encouraged. And I just want to do a little shameless plug. I know Jake talked about it earlier. But listen, today we are celebrating baptisms through the lives of our students over at Hinckley Park. Why is nobody clapping? Like, y'all to clap for Baker Mayfield? When he throws a touchdown, but you won't clap for students who are literally turning their back on the world and saying yes to Jesus? This is a big deal. Y'all should be excited. Choose what you celebrate carefully. But hey, listen, we're not just inviting our leaders and our students. We're actually inviting the whole entire church. We got a message, and yes, we got some worship, but most importantly, we're baptizing a few kids. As a matter of fact, I was just told that more kids want to be baptized. More kids want to come, so I got to talk to them, get them connected. God is doing some great work in our kids. But hey, guys, I have the privilege to finish and also continue this series that we've been in titled A New Kind of Culture. Now, the premise of the series, and really the premise of kind of 1 Peter with the book we've been studying in the New Testament, the idea and the theme is that Christians, followers of Jesus, you're called to be different. You're called to be different. Now, the calling doesn't mean you're better than people, doesn't mean you live above people, doesn't mean you live with arrogance or pride or anything like that. But no, you live because of what's been done. You live because of what Christ has done. As followers of Jesus, we are called to love different. We're called to forgiveness. We're called to harmony. We're called to obedience. We're called to pray. We're called to unity. As followers of Jesus, that's where we're calling is, and that's where Peter has been working us through the last few weeks. And so today, what I love about today is Peter, the passage that we're going to continue today, Peter's going to speak to people who are on the edge. How funny would it be if I just fell off? Y'all be like, I got nothing out of today's message, but the pastor fell. And he went tumbling, tumbling, tumbling. But Peter's going to speak to people who are on the edge. And let me explain what the edge looks like. Peter's going to talk to people who are ready to quit. I don't know where you are at in your life. Maybe life is going pretty well and live a little while. You know that sometimes lives get hard. But for a lot of us, those who are watching online, maybe you know a little bit about this too. For a lot of us, things have just happened that has pushed us to the edge, to the point where we're just ready to give in. And there's a lot of reasons and there's a lot of things that push us to this point, right? Like, for instance, some of us have been through disappointment, after letdown, and hurts, and loss. And we just get to the point where we just feel like, man, this is no way out. You feel weak. You feel defeated. And maybe that's just not you. Maybe you're the person that you feel like you're on the edge. You're just tired. Is anybody tired like I am? I don't mean a physical, like, exhaustion. I'm talking about more like a spiritual, emotional, just mentally just exhausted. You're exhausted because parents, your kids just won't listen to you. You tell them 45 times, don't do this, but they go back and do it again, and you're like, you idiot. If you would have just listened to me the first time, we would be at peace and harmony. We wouldn't be dealing with the consequences right now, you idiot. Or maybe you're tired because your marriage isn't better than it was yesterday. Maybe you're tired because you're still single. Just feel like there's nobody out there for me. I'm just going to be alone for the rest of my life. Maybe you're just tired because your people at your job are fighting you daily. You're fighting your boss and fighting the things that are going on. Some of you are laughing like, that's me right now. Pastor talking to me today. So maybe some of you are tired because your family dynamic is continuously to go south. There's more division. There's more pain. And you're on the edge. Maybe you're not on the edge, not just because of disappointments, not just because you're just tired. Maybe you're on the edge. Maybe you're on the edge because your mind just isn't right. And just so many things are trafficking in your mind. And you're never at peace. You never be content. Therefore, because you're never at peace and you never can be content, you are lacking this thing called joy. You have no joy. Everybody sees your attitude left and right and everywhere you go. And we just get to that place, and sometimes the edge is the place we just want to quit. I know I've felt that in my life before, where I just feel like there's just not much left to give. I feel weak. I feel lost. Feel out of control. But here's what I want you to know. As followers of Jesus, catch this, quitting is not an option. Quitting is not an option. Did you know this? I want you to understand this. Christianity is a life of fighting. Today, I believe this. God wants to call more out of you because the Spirit of Jesus lives in you. And if the Spirit of Jesus lives in you, what in the world can stand against you? Doesn't matter how scary life gets. Doesn't matter the disappointments and the setbacks. You got to learn how to fight. We live in a world that everybody's just quitting so easily. We're quitting because this isn't happening and they're talking about me and they don't like me and all of these things and no. No. God wants you to know you got more potential in you than you ever could imagine. You have more fight in you than you ever could know. And the things that we face, we're not meant to quit. We're meant to fight. Husbands and wives, you got to fight for your marriage. Parents, you got to fight for the unity in your family. People who are single, you got to fight for purity. You got to fight for the things. Why? Because on the other side, God's got a greater promise. We fight because God has a promise. Now, I'm not preaching the prosperity gospel where, you know, you're going to have a bigger car and better credit score or anything like that. I'm not saying that. But all I know is there's a promise waiting for you. God promises to always lead his children to greater pasture. Promise to lead his children to always the greater grace. Promise to lead his children to always to something better. And if God promised you, you can fight where you are today. But a lot of you are giving up so easily. You're strong outwardly, but you're weak inwardly. And I want you to know there is more in you that you could ever know. Now, here's the truth. Here's the truth, friends. Here's the truth. No matter how tough life is, and listen, life is messy. Life is noisy. Life is tricky. Life is just on the, where we feel like we're on the edge. No matter what, at the end of the day, Jesus wins. Jesus wins. And if Jesus wins, guess what? You win. So what are you worried about? What are you walking around afraid? Why are you giving in? Jesus says, listen, take heart. I have overcome the world. And if I win, if there's victory in me, there's victory for you as well. But you got to learn how to fight. You got to learn how to fight. Some of you got to have the way we call a spirit of Conor McGregor. Some of the people are looking like, did he just say Conor McGregor? Am I at church? Like, what's going on? Conor McGregor is a UFC fighter, and a couple weeks ago, he had a fight. And I don't know if you guys know, he lost the fight, but he really didn't lose the fight. He just got injured. But I love, even when he was injured, he was still ready to go. He's like, listen, this foot may not be working. I just hit you with the other foot. I just knock you out with the other foot. Because here's the thing. Some of us have to realize you're wounded, but you're not defeated. You're wounded. Yeah, you're hurting, but you're not defeated. Now, this message isn't a message where muster up enough strength and go out with power and do it on your own. No, 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 no. God loves working through people who are on empty. God loves meeting people where they are. So if you're on the edge, that's a good place to be. Because God says, here's what I got, grace. Here's what I got, blessing. So at the end of the day, when you get through what you get through, you can say this, but God. It was but God. But you were all scared and ready to give up and going to see this doctor and this doctor. What happened? But God. I got to my lowest place, and God met me with his greatest grace. I got to my point where I was ready to give in and ready to give up, but God says, guess what? You're my son. You're my daughter. You are the righteousness of God. You are in Christ. Christ died for you. You are mine, and I want you to know since you are mine, there is more in you. But today, church, we got to learn how to fight. We got to learn how to fight. We got to learn how to put our dukes up and just go at it. Even if you're wounded, you're not defeated. I mean, we're working through this book called 1 Peter, and Peter today is going to teach us how to fight. I don't know about you. Some of us, you may think you know how to fight, but I want to talk to you about a different type of fight. I want to talk to you about a fight that a lot of us are skipping over and a lot of us are not seeing today. So if you have your Bibles with you, go open up to 1 Peter. Who brought their Bible? Physical Bible. Where are they at? Hold them up. Not the phone. Physical Bible. You are going to heaven, ma'am. You and Jesus are going to share grapes. Y'all gonna have grapes and y'all gonna have wine because Jesus drank wine. So, God bless you. Jesus didn't have a tablet, guys. I mean, actually he did. Actually he did. But not one that like, shut up. All right, let's open up. Peter's gonna talk to us about fighting. But we gotta know what we're fighting against. Because sometimes we could be fighting the wrong fight. We could be fighting the wrong fight and giving all the strength in this area, and we need to be fighting over here. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 to 11 is what we're going to read. Now, I want you to understand, Peter is writing to a group of Christians in the first century church that are just like you and I. They're on the edge. They're people that are ready to give up on God. They're people that are ready to give up on faith. They're people that are ready just to walk away because of the persecutions and the sufferings that they're encountering. But Peter wants them to know there's a promise. And God's got a promise for you. And if you would just endure this, if you would just fight through this, if you would just get through all of the muck and the dirt and all of it, I guarantee you this, there is something at the end. So let's get right into it. He says this, 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 through 11. He says this, be sober-minded. Now, sober doesn't mean what we mean today. Sober-minded in this context means having a clear mind. Having a mind of control, a clear head. He says, be sober-minded and be watchful. Now, that means to be alert. So here's what Peter said. I need you to have your mind clear and your eyes open. Mind clear and your eyes open. Well, why is Peter saying this? He's going to give us context right now. Your adversary, the devil. Ooh, wait a minute. This is getting a little weird. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. I like another translation that says, seeking to devour its prey. Verse 9, it says this, but resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kind of sufferings are being experienced throughout the whole entire world. Verse 10 and verse 11 is the highlight of our message today. He says, and after you have suffered a little while, after you have gone through the ups and the downs, after you have been punched in the face, after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to eternal glory in Christ, he goes like this. He says, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish. To him be the glory, to him be the dominion, to him be the power forever and ever. Here's what Peter's going to say. You ready? Peter's going to say this. Before the victory, there's a battle. Before you see the promise, you got to get through the fight. You got to get through this battle. And some of us are going through a battle today. They're not really understanding and really putting in context and not really knowing what we're actually fighting against. Did you see what he says in verse 8? He goes up and he brings up this very interesting point that we need to bring up. He says, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil. Wait a minute. This is getting a little weird, Javon. I mean, like, I can believe in the whole Jesus rose from the dead and empty tomb and angels and all that. But this whole devil thing, like, just don't seem right. Like, that just don't seem right. Because of what Hollywood has thrown at us with Emily Rose and exorcism and turning the heads and all of that stuff. And sometimes we just get to a point where we just don't believe it, right? We just don't think it exists. And that's exactly what the unholy one wants you. He wants you to think he doesn't exist because he loves to work in the dark because he's full of dark. He wants you to think he doesn't exist. He wants you to think he's not there. But then again, I understand a lot of us like to push away from this because you have those really weird Christians. You ever met those Christians that are like, everything's the devil's fault? Javon, I got a headache and I lost my job. The devil's attacking me. No, bro, you got a hangover. They ain't got nothing to do with it. You had too many Jamesons last night. They ain't got nothing to do with it, bro. You did the work for him. You good. He sat back in his chair and said, psh, go ahead. We can... But here's what Peter says. Peter says, there's a real enemy out there. That's what adversary means. If you look at the word adversary, it means the enemy. Which means this, that's your real fight. But I can get caught up fighting the wrong things. You know, sometimes you know what I think my enemy is? My wife. And I'm fighting my wife. Do you see how much I clean today? I know I clean once a month, but did you see how much I clean? Why aren't you thanking me? Why aren't you praising me right now? Why aren't you worshiping me? And I'm fighting those things. And sometimes we can spend all of our energy fighting our family, fighting our jobs, fighting the wrong things while in the back door is open and the enemy is coming in and he's wreaking havoc on your soul and on your character. See, the sufferings Peter is talking about, it's not the sufferings of like loss. It's a suffering that is spiritual. And the enemy comes to attack. He comes to attack your mind. He comes to rob your heart. He comes to tear down the building. So this is what Peter said. Peter says this. The enemy is real. And also, he's active. Did you catch what he said? He prowls around like a roaring lion. That's a really interesting picture. But I love that Peter says it, where I find it interesting that he says that. Because if you study lions, you know lions always go after vulnerable prey. You don't see a lion fighting an elephant. Get his butt whooped. I ain't doing this today. Zebra's over there. And that's how he attacks us in our own lives. When we're at those low moments. When life is just dark. And our marriage is in a certain place. And our jobs are on the line. And he comes in and he attacks. And he attacks us. Why? Because he wants to destroy us. So here's what I want you to understand. The enemy is real. The enemy is active. Everybody listen to this, listen to this. Everybody watching online, listen, don't log off after I say this. I know it might sound a little dark, but I promise you there's hope at the end. Just stick with me. Everybody listen up, listen up. He hates you. He hates you. He absolutely hates you. You always worried about everybody else. You know you need to really worry about the one who wants to destroy you. The one who wants to kill your faith. And he hates you, and he works in a way through these three things, and it's very simple. He works through deception. He tries to lie to you. Jesus calls him the father of lies, and he's been lying ever since the beginning. He tries to lie to you. He tries to get you to the point where you think God isn't good. You think going to church is not needed. You think reading your Bible, you don't need to do that. Because if God was for you, you wouldn't be in this place. And he comes to give you lies so that you will be further from the truth. And you and I know when we're far from the truth, we live out the lie. And he wants to keep us from our purpose. He wants to keep us from what God has put in us and what God wants to do through us and what God has for us. That's his goal, is to distance you through deceiving you, through deception. He also works through temptation. All of us know what temptation is like because we face it, what, every single day. We face it on a daily basis. But his temptation is to get you to do the opposite of the image of God that he created you in. He wants to tempt you so you can be angry. And all people know you is for your anger. He wants to tempt you so you can be bitter and jealous and mad all the time. He wants to tempt you, listen how he tempts you, with fear and with pride. Now, I find it very interesting. If you were with us last week, Jake led us in a study. Jake talked about pride and fear and how we need to humble ourselves and cast our anxiety. I believe what Peter is doing, he is continuing this idea that when the enemy comes, he comes with the fear and the pride that robs us of joy. That robs us of joy. Just this past week, my son got pneumonia. It was a scary moment. Fear. What if he dies? What if this happens? What's going on? Then pride. It's your fault, honey. You shouldn't have let him do this. You shouldn't have let this happen. And then slowly, little by little, what he's doing, he's getting me to the place where I'm always the victim. Anybody know people like that? They're just always the victim. Nobody likes me. Nobody listens to me. Are you that victim? Nobody pays attention. I'm right. You're wrong. And little by little, those are the two things in how he works, through fear and pride. The devil's really not that smart. He's really not that smart. He's sneaky, but he's not that smart. And that's how he works through our lives. He works through deception and temptation, but here's the one thing, and this is what I've been really struggling with today. He works through accusations. See, the word devil in Greek, it means diabolos. It means the slanderer. He works through this. Some of you know what this is like. He works in this type of way. You're a failure. You're never going to find anybody. You're going to always be lonely. You deserve anything good. You're past. You're too dirty. You're a terrible mom. You're a bad leader. You're not a good parent. Nothing good is going to come your way. You deserve to be lonely and all those things. And he tries to trick us daily and daily by throwing accusations, by slandering us, by telling us what we're not, and distancing us from what God said we are. And I've been facing this more and more in my life. I've been questioning my leadership. I've been questioning my parenting skills because I get so angry all the time. I just lose it all the time. I've been questioning if my wife is going to leave me. Those are the things that how he works, through deception, through temptation, through slander, to knock you off balance because he hates you. But here's the truth, friends. Peter gives us one thing to do. Fight him. Verse 9, did you see what he said? Resist him, standing firm in your faith. Listen, he's going to throw some blows, but you can throw some blows back. He's going to try to attack you left and right, day in and day out. He's going to attack you every single day. But here's the truth. Peter says, take your stance and put up your dukes. Resist him. He's not saying run from him. He says, stand and fight. See, that's the real fight that we have to focus on today. Some of you are so busy fighting your spouse that your back door is open, that the enemy's coming in and he's wreaking havoc. Some of you are so busy fighting your parents when little by little your character is going down. Why? Because you let the door open. Peter says, fight him. Fight him. Resist him. You got something in you. You got the potential in you. Because if Christ lives in you, nothing can stand against you. Fight him. Go at him every single day. Say this. You said this, but God said this. You're telling me this about this situation, but God says, I got a promise for you. So I'm going to listen to what God says over to what you said. I'm going to walk according to your purpose and to your promises and all the things that you want for me. And I'm not going to listen to those things. Friends, we got to fight the deception. We got to fight the temptation. We got to fight the accusations. We got to fight the slander. Why? Because the enemy will always attack what's most precious to God. And that's you. That's you. Think about it. Think about it. Would criminals break into a jewelry store just to look at the decor? Just to look at the furniture? You know, they got a nice little walls. You know, this is some nice paint. They're there to get the diamond. They're there to get the jewelry. They're there to take what's precious and what's valuable. And guess what, friends? You're that diamond. To Christ, you are that valuable possession. So don't let them in. By standing firm and keeping them out. By fighting. We got to learn how to do that. So many times we allow ourselves to get to the point where we just feel like we have nothing in us. But Peter says, you have way more in you than you ever could imagine. Now fight. Now fight. Don't give in. Don't give up. Don't let go. Don't lose control. But fight. Yeah, you're bleeding, but you're not defeated. Yeah, you're hurting and exhausted, but you got more in you. You have to fight. I love Thomas Brooks, and he gives us three very simple ideas of resistance. Number one, we talked about the reality. The reality is we're in a fight, a spiritual fight. And number two, he's going to now talk to us about the resistance. And Thomas Brooks, one of my favorite pastors, he says there are three simple ways how Christians can fight and resist the schemes that the unholy one throws at us. Number one, worship. Worship. Worship is the ingredient for a Christian to live. Worship is what we do. Worship is how we live. Worship is our purpose. For instance, you saw this morning when Lexi and the band were leading us in song, right? Because that's one way of worship. They were up here. They weren't up here just for your entertainment, just to show you, hey, look how good I am on the guitar. Just look at this. Lexi wasn't up here to show you how good her voice is. We all know that. They were here to lead you into the presence of an almighty God so that your fear would run, your insecurity would run, the doubt would die down. Because in God's presence, everything that we face has to die. And we come into his presence and we say, God, I'm surrendering to you. I'm not surrendering to the depths. I'm not surrendering to the pit. I'm not surrendering. Yes, my week was hard and my life is hard and my spouse doesn't listen to me and my kids don't listen to me. But here's the thing. You have my attention. You have my devotion. You have everything. So at this moment, I'm giving it to you so I can have the strength to persevere. Worship is our job. Worship is our duty. Worship is our practice. It's what we do. We do it in song. I dare you this week, put on some headphones. I did it when the doctor said, your son's got pneumonia. It's bacterial. We got to put him on antibiotics. I started getting scared. You know what I did? Put in my AirPods, and I started listening to Elevation. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight, because the enemy was not going to rob what God is going to do through my family. He's not going to deceive me. He's not going to trick me. And I'm not going to allow it because I'm willing to fight. And you got that fight in you too. We got to worship in word. We got to know what God says versus what the enemy says. We got to know what God says over what the enemy says so that we can live in a different way. Worship in word, but also most importantly, we got to worship in prayer. Prayer has to be a part of our lives daily, every single day. We just come to God and say, speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. I'm willing and able to hear what you want me to know and want me to see. Would you please listen to me? Would you please speak to me and all of those things? But also, he talks about not just worship. Is my mic on? Can you hear me that mic? You have a mic right there? Thank you. The devil's trying to attack us today. You see this? He's so mad. He took the batteries out. I'm going to be that Christian. Amen. He's so mad. He like, I'm just going to cut him off because he's preaching too good. He's preaching way too good. I'm just going to have to cut him off today. Number one, we fight them with our worship, and we fight them in community. Now, this is a big deal. This is a big deal. So many of us, the reason why we're on the edge is because we're always isolated. We are living in an age where everybody is in their rooms, isolated. Most of my students are always, always, always isolated. They are pushed from the value of community. They are pushed from what God wants to do through you or through around the people that he puts in your life. So we gotta involve some people in. Because here's the truth, friends. If you want to fight the enemy, you got to bring an army. You need to come out of your hiding place and start telling people what's going on. You need to stop being alone. You have a decision and a choice to make. Go out and tell people what's going on in your life. Come to this church. Join a life group. Join a small group. Pray with us. Because one thing the enemy wants to do is to keep you in isolation. Because isolation robs you of intimacy. Intimacy with God and intimacy with people. You got to tell people what's going on with you. Listen, you're not strong on your own. There's a reason why you're there. You got to go to somebody and say, hey, I need help. It reminds me, actually, just last week, I was talking to a student, and I had asked him to come for the last several months to the youth group. And he always turned it down, and he didn't want to come, and he always said no. And I said, okay, that's fine. And then he finally came last week. He finally came. And he's there, and if you know me, I hug people. Like, I'm a hugger. Some of y'all laughing like, yeah, he is. He's a little aggressive. We've had to talk to Doc before. And I saw him, and I just embraced him with love. And then a leader came up and talked to him and introduced themselves to him. And then students came, and they talked to him as well. And he came in. He listened to the message. He was sitting right there with Jeremiah, just sitting literally right there as I'm preaching. And as I get done with the message, he walks up to me. He's the first kid to come to me. There's literally like hundreds of kids that come. But the first kid to come up to me and said, thank you for today. And I said, okay, no problem. He says, thank you for today. Because later I was contemplating committing suicide. And it wasn't until I got here that I realize that there's hope because there's a community of people. See, the thing about it is this young man was on the edge, and what did God do? He told him to go to church, and he came. And the one thing we got to realize, friends, we can't stay in isolation. We need to come out. We need to tell people what's going on with us. Number three, he not only says do worship and fellowship, but also do service. We got to learn how to serve people, because if we're not careful, we'll get so consumed in serving ourselves. We get so consumed in serving our selfishness. Oh, everybody's mad at me. Nobody likes me. And da 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 da. And we get so pitiful in ourselves. But he tells us we got to learn how to serve. We got to learn how to go out and serve people. Why? Because God put something in you. And what he put in you is meant to serve the people around you. Some of the greatest breakthroughs that I've ever had in my life have been because I've decided to live out my purpose. God has given everything you needed so you can do all that you were called to do. God has put something in each and every one of you. But we refuse to live it out. Why? Because we remain isolated. And we got to serve. We got to go out and we got to meet people where they are. God has put something. I want you to know, God has put a purpose in your life. And the enemy doesn't want you to live out that purpose. He doesn't want you to live that out. He wants you to stay in. So, friends, here's the truth. We all need to do something. This week, we got Love Week. Come out and serve us. Come out and be with us. Come out and see what God is doing through the community that we're serving today. Join a life group. Join the ministry team. Come to, listen, I'm going to do a shameful plug. Come to youth group. There's some students who need to be poured into. There's some students who need to be loved. There's some students who need to be reminded who they are in Christ. And when they see you, they see Christ in you. And then there's a joy. Then there's a peace. So, friends, we got this fight. We got this fight in us. When Peter tells us this, the fight is worth it because there's a promise at the end. Verse 10 and 11, he tells us this. And after you have suffered for a little while. You can bring that verse up on there. After you have suffered for a little while. How many of us know suffering has an expiration date on it? Like on a milk carton that I always get and my wife gets mad at me about. Suffering has an expiration date. Suffering always comes to an end. That's what Peter wants us to realize. And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to eternal glory, will himself restore, confirm, establish you. Here's the promise. The promise is this. God's got a glory written with your name on it. God's got a promise that he's Amazon Prime to your doorstep today. Literally, it's there, it's on its way, but you got to fight to get there. And here's the truth, friends. God promised this thing called grace. God promised this thing called glory. And if God promised grace and glory, guess what? We can expect grace and glory. If God promised those things, then we can hold him to his promise. We can say, God, but you said this. But I'm clinging on to what you said. And I'm holding on by your grace and your glory. See, this is the same grace that not only saves us, but it's the same grace that secures us. So when you are weak, God says, guess what? I'm strong. When you are out of breath, God says, here's grace. Here's grace. And I got more of it, and it overflows. It never runs out. We just sang about that. It never runs out. It's a grace that's always pouring over, and his grace will always lead you to his glory. And here's what Peter means. God will always lead you to his purpose. God will always lead you to his will. And the one thing you got to realize, all of that works out for you. And then he finishes very strong. He says, he himself will strengthen you, restore you, confirm you, and establish you. What does that mean? Through your suffering, God is creating and producing a better version of yourself tomorrow. That means this. You're moody today, but you're going to have joy tomorrow. You're out of place today, but you're going to be restored tomorrow. Because that's the promise that God leaves for each and every one of us. We can expect his grace and his glory. We can expect that God's going to create a better version of me tomorrow. But I got to fight today. I got to fight today. We can say all of these things and all of this sounds great. But without fighting, we won't see the victory. Without fighting, we won't see God's promise. What if I told you this? You have more fight in you than you know. What if I told you? What if God was trying to tell you, you got more? You got more. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't come up short to what I'm about to do in your life. Don't give up. Don't stop. Keep going. Keep running. Keep pursuing. Keep serving. Keep worshiping. Keep being involved. Keep getting in community. What if I told you there's more in you than you know right now? And God will meet you with a greater grace and meet you to his greater glory. That's the promises of God. I want to invite the band up today as we close. The truth of the matter is this, friends. We got to fight. We got to engage. We got to go at this every single day, reminding ourselves and telling ourselves there is a promise. There's a promise. And God's got my name written all over it. And I'm just going to keep enduring all of this. I'm going to keep pushing through all of the crap and all of the mess. Because I know there's something for me in the end. And in the end, God's name will be greater than I ever imagined. In the end, we will get to the point where, yes, we were on the edge. But God met us. God met us. And God restored us. And God healed us. And God did what he promised he would do. Let's say a prayer. Father God, thank you for today. We thank you that we don't have to be burdened much longer because your promise is right around the corner. We thank you that we don't have to allow what we're seeing to distract what you're doing. We don't have to be distracted by the things that we see because we know that you are working behind the scenes through the people, through us. You're making everything work out for our good. So we're holding on to that. And since that's our promise, then today we will fight. Since that's what you guarantee for us, then today we're going to stand. Father, I'm weak. I'm weak because blow after blow. And I'm tired. I'm tired because of the voices that are continuously to crowd my mind. The things that are trying to defeat me and bring me down. But I know where I am weak, you are made strong. You give me strength even when I am weary. So Father, give us this strength today. Give the strength to a couple today that is going through a messy situation. Give the strength to a teenager who is contemplating something dangerous. Give the strength to the person who is single that is far from you. Give the strength to those who are in this room, those who are watching online. Help them to know, I got something for you. But you got to fight. You got to persevere. When you fight, you will see my promise. Help the widow. Help the divorced. Help those who are weak. And help them to know that there's a greater strength. We love you and we thank you. In your son's wonderful name is what we pray. Amen.